Book of Malachi, chapter 4, the last message of the Old Testament. 400 years before the God of heaven would touch the heart of a person to make made holy by the grace of God to start writing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 400 years are going to be in between these two verses we're going to read tonight and the New Testament. When I was in that little Bible school down in Dallas, they brought up the 400 silent years. They made it sound like nothing happened during that time. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit certainly was not quiet during that time. The world has never been without a witness. God has always had a witness of His grace on this earth. And during this period, the gospel was preached. The Holy Spirit would bring the lost sheep under the sound of it and save folks just like He does today. So during those 400 years, there was a lot of spiritual activity going on. The Holy Spirit was accrediting the Word of God as it was being preached by various people, preachers of the gospel during that period of time. Saved folks were taught by the same Spirit that we are taught by today. They were taught the truth of the gospel. They were taught the truth about Christ. They were taught the truth about the Bible. They were taught the truth about heaven, sin, and all the other things that we find in the Scripture during this period of time. Now, talk about 400 years of silence. If we take that and apply it to from the year 90, 91 or 92, when the book of Revelation is supposedly written, some people put it earlier than that. I have a tendency to put it before 70 AD. But even at that, we've had 2,000 years of silence. But all during that period of time, the gospel has been preached and been preached freely. And God's people have been saved, and God's people have been taught by the same Spirit that teaches God's people today. They may have had to hide more than we hide. They may have had more difficulties than we have, but the gospel was still being preached. I like the illustration an old preacher used one time. If you are following a herd of cattle, and they come to you don't see the cattle, but you just see their footprints, and you come to a large river, and the feet or the marks disappear into the water, and you get in a boat and go to the other side of the river, and you find feet coming out, footprints coming out, you're pretty much assured that some of the cattle made it through. Well, through all ages, we may not be able to trace everything, and it's not necessary to do that, but the Lord Jesus said that heaven and earth shall not pass away until His word is fulfilled, and He tells us that concerning the church, this church is built upon Me, the rock, and it will not pass away. So the gospel is going to be preached all during that time. The gospel was preached, and people were comforted, just like they're comforted today. The lost were saved, and the last two verses tell our hearers there is an announcer coming. There is an announcer coming. So much like the words that were given to Adam and Eve outside the Garden of Eden, those words about there's going to be a Messiah coming. And it's interesting that Eve took those words so literal that she named her first son, "I have gotten a man-child from the Lord." She believed, this is the Messiah that is coming. Well, the world waited 4,000 years for the Messiah to come. So we're going to be waiting between the final words of the book of Malachi and the first words of the New Testament. They're going to be about 400 years, but oh, the blessings that we're going to go on. And we have in this last few verses of this chapter, these thoughts. There is an announcer coming. One is coming to announce the message of the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. 400 years this message was declared. Now, no doubt there were people felt from time to time that time was just right at hand. Well, we're dealing with the same thing, the coming of the Lord, the second time. And people have said over and over and over, and it's recorded in the Word, it's past, He's not coming, and yet the Lord has promised that He will come back. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't have a lot of marks to check off, a lot of signs to go through, but we do have this. When the gospel is preached and the last sheep is saved, this will be folded up. That's the promise. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And if we read that opening statement to that book was written to the elect scattered abroad. So we have that message going out. How do we know that the gospel survived these 400 years? We get to the New Testament, and it's being preached. There are people that recognize it. There are people that know it. And very early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, even 8 days old, is taken into the temple, and there's a man and a woman that recognize that this is the Messiah. Well, that had to come by revelation. And Zechariah, the father of John, he had to be given some things. In fact, we'll read that in just a few minutes. The gospel came all the way, and it continues to go all the way, and it will continue to go all the way to the end. There will be that wonderful message of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus, and people will be caused to hear it. They will be caused to hear it. We, by nature, we don't want to hear it, but by the grace of God, we're privileged to hear it, and then we are thankful that we got to hear it. This passage shares with all who can hear, watch for the announcer. Watch for the announcer. Watch the one that this verse is speaking of and who this one is going to talk about. Watch for that one. 400 years of waiting go by before some got to see it. Now, there are several generations in 400 years. But there was generation after generation after generation that were taught by the Word of God. Now, notice with me in verse 4 of Malachi chapter 4. Verse 4, remember ye the law. Now, remember the Word of God. When all of these things look hopeless, remember the Word of God. When all these things don't seem to be going in the direction that we think they should go in, listen to the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Remember the Word of God. Remember the law of Moses. Remember the Word of God. Remember the gospel message all along. And we're in that time now as we wait for Christ coming the second time. Now, it may be tomorrow, maybe later tonight, maybe in 1,000 years, but we're comforted in knowing that He has promised that He will come back. He will do exactly what He said He will do, and He is able and has the power to do what He said He will do. We don't, but He does. So we take comfort in that. Don't quit or be downhearted. The one promised will appear. The one promised. Now notice here in verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Now we've already been informed of that earlier in this book, chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice that with me. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So we've already been announced, and now as the last page, the last paragraph, the last verse of the Old Testament is brought to conclusion, we have that announcement one more time. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, to many, it was a dreadful day, but that word can also be translated a glorious day. To God's people, it was a glorious day when the Lord appeared. To those shepherds, it was a glorious day. To those angels, it was a glorious day. To the announcement of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and to all that would hear and understood, the disciples are going to be caused to understand that the one that is spoken of as Elijah was John the Baptist, and he is the announcer. And he understood some of his purpose, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. It says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Just like today, there are believing parents and unbelieving children, and there are believing children and unbelieving parents. And he said, the message is going to come in such a capacity that those who know the gospel are going to share it with others that don't know it, and this message will turn all of the elect parents or all the elect children to the Lord. Heart of the children of their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, we know that that's going to happen too. When God judges the nations there, all people, sheep from the goats, we know that there will be judgment brought out at that point. The law and the prophets, during this interim, you'll only have the Word of God to comfort us, just like we do now. We don't have some physical form coming down. It was really a blessing for me. I really got a lot out of Hebrews chapter 12. You're not come to the mount that could be touched, not to a physical religion. We're not brought to a physical religion, but we're brought to a heavenly Jerusalem. It's spiritual. And there are people that have always seen it as spiritual. And they have been given the grace of God not to settle on just physical, just the physical. So the law and the prophets were until John. Would you turn with me over to the book of Luke chapter 16? Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we find these words recorded with regard to John. John, Luke chapter 16 and verse 16 in the scripture share this. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. Now, when Brother Lance was here the last time, he preached to us about the last prophet from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Christ is truly the last prophet, but the law and the prophets were until John. John was truly the last Old Testament prophet. During his period of time, the sacrifices are still going on. The temple is still being used. It is not what we have shut off when the Lord shut down the temple in AD 70. They continue to be only lights to the church till the morning star appears. These prophets were just lights. They were candles. They were lit. They burn out. But this one, the bright and morning star, is the one who has no beginning and no end. He is the eternal Son of God. God never left himself without witness in the world at any time. The gospel, as well as gospel proclaimers, were always somewhere. They're always somewhere. Now, they may not be in New York. I don't know. But there will be the gospel proclaimed somewhere in this world all the time until this earth is folded up. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 19. John had the golden opportunity to take upon himself the preeminence. He could have put his thumbs in his suspenders and told everybody how important he was, but that is not the manner of a true believer. The importance is Christ. Here in the first in John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ. I am not Messiah.' And they ask him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Moses spoke, 'There's a prophet coming whom you'll believe.' And they're looking for that prophet. Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" John understood his ministry. I am the foreteller. I am the announcer. I am the one that was promised by the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. And they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptize thou then, if thou art not Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered and said, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Now John says, I know him. Now, the Bible says they were cousins. John was 3 months older. They were cousins, but that's not the kind of knowing he's telling about. He knew him. You know, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan while John was baptizing. But notice with me, verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now, let's go back over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Would you turn there with me? Some were watching in every generation, and they did not live to see the fulfillment, but one day all was fulfilled. Generation after generation came and went. And I believe there were those who sought the fulfillment of that passage of Scripture in their generation, but it was not fulfilled. But they were not disheartened, because the Scriptures just tell them, there in the book of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4, trust the Word, believe the Word, be comforted by the Word. Don't let this bother you. Holy Spirit comforts us. And here in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, long before Malachi and long before John was born, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30. Well, I've done it again. It said that prophecy of John's, verse 3, thank you. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah presented this, declared this, preached this, and many, many years later, there is a man born to Zacharias and Elizabeth that understood that this passage of Scripture was about him. He is the foreteller, the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 were found in a man by the name of John. And John had one ministry, and that was to declare Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy, every Old Testament type, shadow, and picture, and that this Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is the one that we have been seeking for, sought after. The fulfillment of all the promises are made in him. He is the Savior of his people, and he will save them from their sins. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Years have transpired between the conclusion of Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament. I don't see it as a start of a new era in that sense. It's the same preaching. It's the same men called of God. It's the same gospel. It's the same spirit. It's the same need. We have the same pandemic, the fall. And the need of that pandemic is a Savior that can take care of the problem. So that's been declared all through the Old Testament during the 400 years between the close of Malachi and the opening of what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here in the book of Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 10. And his disciples asked, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" Now they had some understanding, but not the understanding that John had, and that Christ is going to reveal to them. They went to the scriptures just as the same as when the Magi came and said, "Where is the king of the Jews going to be born?" They went and looked, searched through the old scriptures and says, "Oh, right there in Bethlehem is where he's going to be born." They knew the scriptures that much. But, oh, the physical application of the scriptures has nothing to do with the salvation of his people. We may know some physical things and never understand spiritual things. But it's what a blessing it is to understand it from a spiritual context and also from a physical context. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, but that's the house of bread, and it truly speaks about him. Well, John chapter, Matthew chapter 17, and there in verse 10 and 11, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." John's already been killed. His ministry is over. And as I mentioned Sunday, there's a whole bunch of folks would say his life was cut short, but it was in appointed time that God gave him. Then the disciples, verse 13, then the disciples understood. Now what an understanding the Holy Spirit gives. What an understanding Christ gives to us. To see that what they saw, they understood. He spake unto them of John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and also of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and many other Old Testament scriptures. Here it is. God has been faithful to declare unto us the word of God, just as he said. Trust the word. Look into the word and trust the word. Follow the word. It is the only compass that we have. It is the only word that is truthful and honest. Well, in John, Luke chapter 7, would you turn there with me? Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 26. Luke chapter 7, verse 26. Jesus said, "But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John." Jesus Christ pointed out, this is the messenger that the Old Testament was talking about, the forerunner, the announcer of the messenger of the covenant. This is the one that preached Christ. I'm not he, but he preached Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold him. There he is. Now, it is interesting to read Luke chapter 1 about Zacharias' words with regard to his son. Turn there with me if you would. Book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now it's not been that long ago when Brother Mike went through this passage of scripture and gleaned so much out of it, but we just need to go back there one more time as we close out the Old Testament, because Zacharias understood who his son was. It had been revealed to him who this son is. Luke chapter 1, And let's look at verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Now, I can't comprehend all that Zacharias went through for 9 months. All the time that his wife is carrying this baby, he's silent. Imposed upon silence. He didn't take some vow of silence. It was imposed upon him. And he is an elderly man, and his wife is an elderly lady. And yet, she has a baby, and his name is John. It tells us here in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Earlier in this chapter, it tells about Zacharias' wife. They were both justified. So we have him sharing some very important information with us even today. The Holy Spirit filled him to prophesy or to share these words about his son, and we get to enjoy and appreciate those words still, that he is the fulfillment of the prophecies found in the Old Testament about the forerunner, the one who went before and announced, we have a king coming. Announced, this was a practice with the Caesars. The Caesar is coming. We have a Messiah coming. We have the forerunner announced the king is coming. The Savior is coming. And he did it so publicly. And he did it every time he took someone down into the water and raised them up out of the water. He is declaring exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ would do in his ministry. He's going to die on purpose. He's going to be buried on purpose. And he is going to raise the third day on purpose. And when he raises, he will have taken completely and put sin away on the behalf of all the people of God. Now, there's no greater message than all that message, as he's declaring it every time that he took people down to the water. It tells us here in verse 67, it says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, 400 years, the people who were in the line of Zacharias had been looking for the fulfillment of this promise, and Zacharias gets to witness it. Here it is. He has been used of the Lord to bring this boy into the world. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited his and redeemed his people. And I don't think that Zacharias understood that he's talking about national Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel. This is who God redeemed, was spiritual Israel. And in verse 69, hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his father, of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Moses spoke of him. Joshua spoke of him. Daniel spoke of him. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea spoke of him. Malachi. What, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. Now, Zacharias, I don't believe he understood this to mean that Rome is going to be thrown off. I believe he understood exactly who the enemies were. That's the enemies of the church. That's sin. That's the reality of the fall. It's going to be taken care of. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now notice verse 76. And thou child. He shares with us a lot of what he understood had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. Thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. this child is going to be the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophets about someone coming beforehand to declare the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare the way. Announce that we got a preacher coming. That's what he's saying. We have a gospel preacher coming. We have the promised one coming. Hear ye him. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now, Zacharias is an elderly man. Whether he actually got to witness this to happen doesn't matter. He understood what was going to happen. And that is John, his son, was the one that was promised from the Old Testament times, made mention of in the book of Isaiah, made mention of in the book of Malachi twice. This is the one, the announcer. If this be true, then the Messiah is next. The promise of the Messiah is next. Now, it's interesting that Elizabeth has already visited her cousin Mary, and this babe did leap in her womb when she came into close proximity of Mary, who's carrying the babe Jesus. John leaped in his womb. He acknowledged before he was even born, I am in the presence of royalty. I'm in the presence of the Messiah. I'm in the presence of the Savior, even before he was born. So Elizabeth understood some things. Mary understood some things. John understood some things. And Zacharias understood some things. And whether Zacharias and Elizabeth actually got to hear her son preach, we don't know. But it doesn't matter. They believed what the word had to say. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. The knowledge of salvation. The only salvation that God ever gives is in the remission of sins. Sin has been dealt with. We will never have to deal with it on our own. Through the tender mercy of our God, Zechariah understood the mercy of God, the remission of sins of God, the tender mercies of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. All these men, from the very beginning to the end, were just a candle. Some had a longer life than others. Some lives were very short. Some lives were pretty long. But the candle burned out, and God raised up someone else. And verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Well, John and the Lord Jesus were in the same situation. They both lived in the deserts. That's where we're born. We're born in the deserts. They lived in the deserts. Jesus Christ was in the cemetery every day of his life. Everybody around him, except those he had touched through the mercy of grace, raised him from their spiritual dead. Everybody else had this black glow to them. I'm using that figuratively. He understood and knew everyone that was still dead in trespasses and sin. Light was given to a few, and those he knew, as he always knows, those he saves. Well, the last words of the Old Testament are closed, but they're opened up in the very early in the New Testament to announce this one is coming, and since he's here, as Zacharias said, the Messiah is next. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is here. John was born. 3 months later, the Messiah is born, the Lord Jesus. And in time, their paths crossed by divine appointment. Now, Jesus did not need to be baptized. He did not. But he went to John, and John says, oh, no. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, we're going to fulfill all righteousness. What's he going to do? He is going to demonstrate that there's only one person in all human history that by his very being was righteous before God, and he is going to demonstrate exactly to John and everyone that's around him what is required that that righteousness might be imputed to someone else: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's going to do that. John submitted, baptized him. They both went down into the water, and they both come up out of the water. And John and Jesus' ministry went this way. And all John did from that point on says, "Behold the Lamb." And they said, he told him, "Go join him. Go get with him. Get with him. I must decrease. He must increase." And that's truly the ministry of a prophet. That's truly the ministry of a minister. Join with him. I point you to him. So the last words of the Old Testament come to a close. 400 years are going to be before the next words are recorded. But it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah." And there were some that understood and many that just said, I wonder what that means. A whole bunch of them came to John and said, I wonder what that means. And he says, "I'm not he. I'm not the Messiah and I'm not the prophet. But I'll tell you who I am. I'm the announcer of the messenger of the covenant." You know what they did? They went away. Some of them came down to John and says, we would like to be baptized of you. You know, I've never heard of a preacher saying this except what John said. "Who hath warned, O generation of snakes, vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who hath warned? Who's made you scared?" That's not the gospel. The gospel is, it's a pleasure to have Christ as our Savior. It's a glorious pleasure. We'd not have it on our own, but they were scared. "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then it says there in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, "And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Oh, how glorious that is when the message of grace brings a family together. David said it wasn't so with his family. Last words of David, "Not so with all my family. Some, not all. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, that's going to happen. In the end, that will happen. All those that are not on the right hand will hear that curse. Well, we close Malachi. Pray that we find somewhere else to go.